Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
But for our time together today, what I'd like to do is just take a couple of moments to reflect on what has happened in the lives of the people that have been baptized. This is the testimony of everyone who we baptized this weekend. But it's also true for all of us who have chosen to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, that this is our testimony. And I want to just take a moment to share with you the testimony that we have as believers, that something that has taken place in all of our lives, whether we see it or know it or remember it. Sometimes if you've been to a wedding, sometimes the officiant at the wedding, as they're performing the wedding, will invite him, and they'll invite whoever is there that's married, and they'll say, as we walk through this service, let this be a chance for you to reflect on your marriage vows and on your marriage. And as we talk about what it means to be married in terms of this wedding ceremony, let this be an opportunity for you to reflect on that in your own life. And that's part of what I want to invite us to do today. As we talk about this, for many of us, this won't be something where we say, I didn't know that. But what I want to invite you to do is just to let this be a reflection where you can remember what it is that God did do for you, and maybe serve as a reminder of, and maybe a reignition of maybe our gratefulness for all that God has done for us. And for that, I want to look at a story today in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, primarily we have three stories that are told, all three with a similar theme of being lost and found. But the first story and the third story, they're really the ones that we've carried with us. They're the ones that we go back to. They're the ones that, in just passing reference, probably, whether you know the story or not, you might know the story. The first story is about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And one night, he realizes that one of his sheep has gone missing. And so the shepherd goes out, leaving the 99 behind, goes out and searches for the one, goes out to find the one sheep. And when he searches high and low, and eventually he finds his one sheep, and he brings it back to the herd. And then we read that he calls all of his friends and neighbors and invites them and says, would you come to my house? I want to celebrate that I've lost my sheep and now I've found my sheep. The third story is another one that we recognize and that we can see in our lives and we can remember. It's a story about a father and son. And there's this son, and he decides he's had enough of living in his father's house, living by his father's rules, living up to his father's expectations. And he says, Dad, I'm out. And he leaves his father's house, and he goes and lives his own way. But as he's living his own way, his life begins to spiral out of control. And eventually he finds himself at rock bottom, and he makes a decision that I'm going to go home and see my dad. And maybe, just maybe, he'll let me live at home. I'm not coming back expecting to be a son. I'm coming back hoping to be a servant. But even as this son left home and lived his own life and told his father, I don't want to be your son anymore. I don't want to follow you anymore. The son or the father never stops loving his son. And so as the son is returning home, the father sees him coming and he runs to go meet his son and he throws his arms around him, not out of anger and not out of frustration, but out of love, celebrating that his son was lost but now has returned home. And we just like the shepherd, he throws a party, invites all of his friends and neighbors and says, I've lost my son, but he's returned home. And they have a party. And these are stories we cling to and we look at and we love them. We sing about them. We sang this morning about the prodigal coming home. That's referential of the third story. If you look in your Bible, it's called The Prodigal Son. The first story, we sing Reckless Love about how God will leave the 99 to chase after the one. But there's this third story. Well, the second story, but the third of in total. Sandwiched in the middle. And this isn't the one that gets focused on as much. We don't sing songs about this one. We don't watch VeggieTales made about this one. There's this third story that Jesus tells, and it starts in verse 8. And the story that Jesus tells is this. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Then Jesus will say, in the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that's it. That's the whole story. And when we read it, maybe you say, yeah, I get why we don't sing songs about that one. That one might be a little more difficult to turn into a poetic song. It's a simple story. I kind of get why this one gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. The coins, if you do some, depending on your translation of the Bible, it might just say some coins. It might also give the name of those coins. What you need to know is each one of those coins is probably its value was like roughly a day's wage. So not super valuable, but not nothing either. Like, it's not like, oh, I had 10 pennies and I lost one. But also not like I had 10 million-dollar collector coins. Because, I mean, if you called me and said, Pastor Brad, I want to invite you to my house. I had lost some money. I lost about $100. But I found it. And I'm throwing a party because I found my money. Would you come over and celebrate with me? I would say, a text would do. Like I appreciate the invitation, but like, okay, like the party's probably gonna cost you more than the $100 you just found. Like, you know, if you're inviting people over for dinner, that ain't cheap no more. And so I want to, you know, when we read it, we can kind of not fully understand it. Not fully understand what's taking place in this story. But there's a part to this story that we might not fully understand that helps us to see why this is so significant. See, there was a tradition in Jesus' time that would be on their wedding day, a woman would receive a set of 10 coins as a wedding gift. So when Jesus said that there was a woman with 10 silver coins, it wasn't that she was a coin collector. It wasn't that she just happened to look in her wallet and see that she had 10 coins. But these were significant and important 10 coins. They were symbolic of who she was. They were symbolic of what had taken place in her life. These coins would traditionally be carried around either in a special purse, or they would be put on a chain, or they would be put on a headdress, where the women would wear these things as a symbol of the relationship that they have. It's like our red wedding rings, that they would wear these so people would know they were married. But the coins themselves, their value wasn't expressed by their value. Their value was expressed by what they symbolized, by what they meant to the person. Just like your wedding ring. Some of us may have very expensive wedding rings. My wedding ring got bent, so I got a $30 one on Amazon. But I don't value my wedding ring as $30. It means the world to me. Not because the rubber or whatever it's made out of is like really fancy, but because it symbolizes my marriage to my wife. And so it means the world to me. And so these coins were symbolic of so much more than just simply she had some coins. The other thing that can help us understand a little bit of the urgency and the little bit of what's taking place here is that we need to think about this woman's home in terms of homes in Bible times. In Jesus' time, homes were not very big, and they were also very dark because they didn't have windows. Because how do you put it? There's not glass windows to put in to let natural light in. And just like the same with us, you don't want your windows just open to the outside world. And whatever happens, happens. And whatever comes in through those windows, comes in through those windows. So if they even had windows, they were just very small slits. So they could just let a little bit of natural light in, but would be easy to cover up if they didn't want them open. So then, the other thing is that the floors inside the houses would have been dirt, would have been very dry dirt. And when you have dirt that gets very dry, it cracks. And so there would have been lots of nooks and crannies and cracks in the floor for all kinds of stuff to fall into the floor and would be disappeared or lost for forever. So then maybe when we go back and look at this story in that context, we can see maybe why this woman would light a lamp and sweep the entire house and not stop until she found her precious coin. If it was just some ordinary coin, she probably would have let it go. Undoubtedly, lots of stuff get lost. But this coin, of course, was more than just a trinket of silver. It was personal. To search for the lost coin would have required light. And in order to get light, she had to light her lamp. And in order to light her lamp, she would have to use the oil that she had on hand. And oil cost money. And oil was meant to be saved for at night when there was no opportunity for natural light. But she needs to use her oil to search for this coin. And eventually the coin is found. She doesn't need to search anymore. No doubt she has that weird mix of emotions that we have when we go through a story like this where we're anxious and we're worried and we're stressed and we feel like our heart is beating quickly, but we're also relieved at the same time as we're still feeling all the emotions of losing something, but also enjoying the fact that we found it yesterday. We went to Staples to go get the baptismal certificates printed. And I had my towel and my iPad in the back of my car. And I was sure that when I left, I had put my iPad on top of my towel. And when we got back to my car, I opened the door to put the baptismal certificates and my iPad wasn't in there anymore. And I thought, man, that can happen fast. We were just in Staples for maybe 5 minutes. Somebody walked by, saw my iPad, tried the door, it was unlocked, opened, and left with it. Then I moved the towel and I just put it underneath the towel and it was there the whole time. But in that moment, you have this explosion of emotions of like, oh, somebody stole my iPad. Where's my iPad? It's all gone. But you're also feeling like, oh, thank God. And you're also feeling, I'm an idiot. And all of these emotions all at the same time of that. And so for this woman, she finds the coin and it's this like cocktail of emotions of just, I'm so grateful and I'm so anxious and I'm so happy and I want to celebrate and I'm scared and I'm worried. All of these emotions at the same time. But Jesus goes on to tell us that the woman is so excited about finding her coin, she goes out and invites her friends and neighbors to celebrate with her as her coin has now been found. And the story ends with Jesus declaring, the same rejoicing is found in heaven when one sinner who was lost is found. In the story of the lost coin, Jesus shows us how personal his love is for each one of us. That we're not just a nameless person in a crowd. We see that he focuses his attention on us like we are the only person in the universe. And that's what makes him the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, and all-loving God. It wasn't enough for the woman to say, well, I've still got 9 coins. Like, I'm still doing fine. I've still got lots of coins. It's going to be okay. She wanted the one that was gone. Just as she cared for that one specific coin, God cares for each one of us individually. He does not count the 99 and dismiss the one. Say, I've still got 99 sheep. I'm doing pretty well. Recognizes the one matters. He does not look at the 9 coins and say, I'm doing pretty good. But what we see in this story is that while we are lost, God will diligently seek us. He will spend money on oil to light the lamp and dust and turn over every item until you have been found. And when you are found, he will rejoice in heaven. It's a beautiful reminder today that God loves you so deeply that he would go to the ends of the earth for you. Friends, what a reminder of how much God values you and how much God loves you. And so today, as we celebrate these baptisms this morning, we celebrate that each one of these people were lost and now they've been found. That each one of these people taking this step has an immense, incalculable value to God. But we're also reminded that for every single one of us today, you matter so much to God. You are so valuable to God. That for each one of us who is a follower of Jesus, our testimony is that while we were lost, God did everything he could to try and find us. That he wasn't content to just let you figure it out and see what happens. But God was chasing after you. And for each one of us, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what I want you to know today is this. You matter so much to God. You are so valuable to him, and he is chasing after you. He is pursuing you, and he won't stop until you're found. And so my prayer for us today is that if you came to church today being unsure of how God saw you, being unsure of how God perceived you, being unsure of what for you it means, that God knows you better than you know yourself. And maybe that's a terrifying thought for you because you know you and you think, I'm not that good of a person. What does God think of me? What I want you to know today is that God loves you more than we will ever be able to understand. And you mean more to God than we can understand in the word value. God loves you, and you are precious to him. And so this morning, this afternoon, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you. I'd be glad to talk with you and to pray with you. I know Pastor Lori, Pastor Matt, the same. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus and start you on a path that ends with the most glorious part of your life becoming true and real, a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. And if you already know Jesus as your Savior this morning, I just want to encourage you that God loves you so much. We celebrated baptisms this morning because these people were responding to what God has done in their life. And I pray for you that it serves as a reminder of everything God has done in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that we can come to you And when we come to you, God, we are celebrated. That as we come to you, God, we are welcomed into your presence. That as our Father in heaven, God, you're not frustrated, bitter, or angry with your children. But that as you look at each one represented here, each one watching at home, each one listening, God, we thank you that when you look at us, you look at us through the eyes of a perfect heavenly Father who loves each one of us more than we will ever be able to understand. And so, God, I pray for each one who maybe came to church today, unsure of where they fit, unsure of where they fit in the world, unsure of where they fit into your kingdom, unsure of where they fit into your family as sons and daughters. God, whether it's voices in their heart and voices in their head or circumstances or whatever that has left them unsure of how God feels about them. In the name of Jesus, we just pray that those voices would be silenced, those circumstances would be silenced, that the things that would work to cast doubt on our relationship with you and how you love us would be silenced. And all that would be left would be the voice of our Heavenly Father speaking to us, looking us in the face and saying, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter, more than you will ever understand. And God, I pray that you would seal that in our hearts, seal that in our lives, that when the enemy would come to seek and kill and destroy the image of ourselves and who we are and how we see ourselves in you, that there would be nothing that could stand against the knowledge of who we are and whose we are. God, I thank you for your never-ending love that continues to work in us and through us, to love us in our best moments and love us in our worst. God, thank you for your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
In every single way.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
In every single way, the God who made the universe knows me by my name, so it's a good day. It's a good day, no, it's great. Everything I prayed for didn't come in late. Didn't have to wait. Ask me if you love me, you didn't hesitate. Turning all things new, gray skies blue. Yeah, the church saying, won't he do it? I know he's got my back. That's why I'm singing that. A good day.